There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN TV program. We are broadcasting live, and it's Tuesday, September 9th, 2025. First off, as always, if you're watching on Rumble, please like, share, and subscribe to our channel. Likewise, please take a minute now and share today's show link on your social media and your email list, whether you're watching on WCNTV.net or on Rumble. By the way, subscribing to our Rumble page really does help us out, but you know, 90% or more of those who watch the show never subscribe. It only takes a minute, so hit that subscribe button. Do us a favor. And if you're tuned into WCNTV.net, please join us live today by clicking the Join the Studio Audience button. Then you can comment, ask questions, and be with us as part of today's show. Today we're joined by Dr. Ted Brower from Health Masters. It's been a long time since he's been with us, and I'm excited to have him back. Ted is a health and nutrition expert, best known for founding Health Masters in 1981, a company offering supplements and wellness products, and I'm convinced they're the best products you can buy. This past weekend, got to tell you a story, Lisa and I had a couple over, and they saw my stash of Health Masters supplements, and they said, "Wow, are you a distributor for those, or do you take them all?" And I had to tell them all about Health Masters. And yes, I do take them all. And since I'm a little OCD, I keep them in alphabetical order. So they go from, you know, B complex to excellent C to D3. But anyway, I need to mention a specific product. And Spencer, if you can put that picture up on the screen for folks, that would be good. It's called Purple Sticks. And this is what keeps me in an upright position and able to keep going and do what I do every day. They're all natural, and since I've never been able to stand the taste of coffee, this is what I use to wake up in the morning, keep me going all day with no caffeine crash. And I don't mean to go on and on about this product, but you really need to try it. Again, they're called Purple Sticks. You just open a packet, shake it up in a bottle of water, and they will keep you going. And one more story. You know, every year when we hold our annual conference, my friend Leighton Howerton comes about a week early and stays at our house and helps me get things ready for the conference. And since we're best friends, we always have a lot to talk about. Normally, I go to bed around 7 o'clock, but when Leighton's with us, it's not uncommon for us to be up until like 2 a.m. talking. So this past April, by Friday afternoon, before the conference started, he told me he was dragging, worn out from helping me get everything ready. And the conference hadn't even started yet. So I gave him a purple stick. And a little while later, he came back and told me, "Man, that stuff really works. It's incredible. In 20 minutes, I felt like a new man." So yeah, it does. It really works. And no caffeine crash. So a little more about Ted. He's built a broad audience through radio and television appearances on over 1,000 stations, syndicated shows, and live seminars. He shared the stage with personalities like Larry King, George H.W. Bush, Margaret Thatcher, Zig Ziglar, and many others. He launched the Ted and Austin Brower Show in 2015 with his son, Austin, where they discuss health, fitness, natural wellness, and in-depth commentary on world events, all from a Christian perspective. It's a great show, and I try to never miss it. If I do, when I'm driving, I just tune in and listen to all the back podcasts, and you can actually do that. It's actually a most entertaining and informative show out there. You can find out a lot more at their website. It's called teamhealthmasters.com, and you can also listen to live and previous episodes on the show there. Today, Ted is going to be explaining the many varied aspects and importance and effectiveness of prayer, how prayer works, and even from a scientific standpoint. So, Ted, thanks for hanging in there, and thanks for taking the time to be with us back on WCN TV today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. About 10 minutes ago, folks, Rob told me, he says, Ted, you need to take a purple stick. You look kind of tired. I said, oh, I feel pretty good. He goes, well, just do a purple stick. I said, all right, I'll do one. They're basically green tea. There's no coffee in them. They taste great, and they've got B vitamins in them, and they're really amazing products. We're the only people that carry these. We actually manufacture them. So if you try them, you're going to love them. And it's a lot better than coffee. You don't get that crash because coffee elevates the cortisol really bad. This doesn't do that. I can actually take one of these almost at 6 o'clock and still sleep through the night. If I had a cup of coffee at 6, I could be up all night because of the cortisol. And cortisol is a stress hormone, and it makes you age really fast. This doesn't do that. This has the green tea in it. It makes you slow down the aging process. Helps reduce the risk of a bunch of different types of diseases, and it's actually healthy to use. Now, I take probably 3 or 4 of those a day because I like the way they make me feel, and they keep me focused all day. But they're a great product, and thank you for your support from Health Masters. We've been doing this for a long time. We've actually been in business now for, I guess, almost 45 years, almost half a century. So it's pretty exciting that we're here and we're still under the same corporate umbrella we started with. So it's been a lot of fun. We've been able to help a lot of people. And that's the key, isn't it, Rob, is that when you have people working with you and through you and under you and for you, you can help a lot of people, especially through radio and TV. And we've been blessed to reach millions and millions and millions of people through TV and radio talk shows. And I'm just really happy to be here tonight with you guys. And thanks so much. And tonight we're going to talk about the fabric of reality and what the earth really is. I'm not going to go into a lot of weird stuff, but it's a little bit of weird stuff. So just hang on. I was supposed to cover this information, but I ran a little bit long at the conference last April. And so I wanted to come back in, and Rob asked me to talk about it tonight, about why prayer is so important, why it's important to have a relationship with God, and why you need to have a hotline, so to speak, to God. When we pray, we create a scalar energy field, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. And that scalar energy field has no barrier in time space. And that means that basically it goes throughout the entire universe instantaneously, and of course, right to the ears of God, who is always hearing to you because you're basically an uplink antenna to God. Our whole DNA fluctuates in and out of our dimension. It's another dimension thousands of times a second, and we're held here by what's called an antimatter tether. So it's interesting when you start looking how God made us and what we are. It's kind of like the entire planet's a giant hologram. I don't know if you guys ever watched the movie, you know, the TV show, you know, Star Trek. And they had the new generation, they had a holodeck. And you actually go in there and create any type of reality you wanted. And that's pretty much what we're in. We're kind of like in an energy field. Let me give you an example. If you took any kind of atom of, let's say, copper, and you took the copper atom and you basically put the nucleus of that copper atom and you blew it up to the size of a pea, and you put that pea on the 50-yard line in an NFL stadium, the first set of electrons would be about to the top of the bleachers, all the way to the very top. Everything else from that P to the top of the bleachers is empty space. And then the next set of electrons, you'd have 8 electrons, you're probably going to be half a mile away, even further. And so we basically are in an energy field that's held together through Christ. Now, I'm going to give you some biblical references on this so it'll make more sense to you. The Bible says, you know, the phrase refers to the belief that Christ is a sustaining force of the universe, meaning that everything exists and is maintained through him. It emphasizes his role in the creation and the coherence of things. Understanding the phrase, through him, all things are held together. The phrase, through him, all things are held together, is derived from Colossians 1:17. This verse emphasizes the role of Christ in creation and existence. It states that he is before all things. This indicates Christ's preeminence and existence prior to all of creation. In him, all things hold together. This suggests that Christ is a sustaining force of the universe, maintaining order and coherence. In other words, through him, all things are held together. This entire energy field that we have in the planet is held together through Christ. This is why, when you read the New Testament, when Christ was crucified and his life, he gave up his life, the entire planet started coming apart. we started having earthquakes everywhere. I personally believe the only reason that stopped, that we didn't turn into another meteorite field, is because God the Father stepped in and held it together for Christ, who had died. Now, what's interesting about this, we realize that Christ was ascended from the dead 3 days later, and now he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But we also need to realize what he did. Yeah, I have a series, and I know we talked about it with Rob before. It's called Angel Wars. And it's probably one of the best series that goes into the Old Testament and the pre-Adamic race, and how God judged the world and judged Lucifer when he tried to do a coup d'etat against God. And what happened? We use scripture after scripture after scripture from the Old and New Testament talking about this. So if you ever have a chance, if you really want to learn more about what happened before Adam and Eve and when Lucifer fell, watch and listen to the series Angel Wars. In fact, what I'm going to do, Rob, with that one, I'm probably going to burn it to a CD, and I'm going to have it for sale at Health Masters for, you know, a few dollars. And we're also going to put pictures in there with it to show what we're talking about during the presentation. It's about 3.5 hours long. It's a long one. It took about 2 weeks, and I did it live on the show, and then we edited out all the current news those days, and we put it and spliced it all together. And one of our listeners did that for us. I'm so happy he did that for me. But let's go ahead and talk a bit more about Colossians 1:17, and let's understand something. When we realize that Christ is the one who built the universe, which he did, and we realize it's through him that all things are held together, we have to ask ourselves a question, right? Christ is the creator. He affirms that all things were created through him, establishing his divine authority. Sustaining power indicates that Christ is actively involved in the maintenance of the universe, not just its creation. Unity and purpose, the idea suggests that everything in existence has a purpose and is interconnected through Christ. This understanding is foundational in Christian theology, emphasizes the centrality of Christ in both creation and ongoing existence. A lot of people believe that God the Father did Adam and Eve, and God the Father basically built the universe, but actually it was Jesus who did that. And that's why through him it's all held together. That's a very big misnomer, and a lot of Christians don't understand that. That's why the power that we have through Christ is unprecedented. It's kind of like this. If this represented God, and this represented, you know, Jesus, right? And then we had this one represent us. So we have three different stages here: us, Jesus, and God. Jesus is basically a transformer. He's the intermediary between us and God. He allows us to come boldly to the throne of God through him for forgiveness of sins, and allows us to have eternal life with God Almighty. It allows our energy field to once again become compatible with God's energy field, because of sin, we don't have that ability right now without Jesus. Very important to understand that. He's like you go to Europe, and you have these 220-volt circuits everywhere. And if you plug a blow dryer from the United States into one of those 220-volt circuits, you blow it up. Curling iron doesn't make a difference. You burn it up because you're doubling the voltage. That's kind of like God is. Remember when he was talking in the Old Testament, he said, don't let the Israelites even touch the mountain or they're going to die. You know, when they were in the Holy of Holies, you couldn't touch the Ark of the Covenant or you would die. The energy that emanates from God, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm in the end, all at once. You know, he's 100% of God is in the book of Genesis right now. 100% of God is in the book of Revelation right now, into the very end times. It's all at the same time. He has no factor in time space. He's omnipresent. We need to understand that. And it was interesting, Rob, this weekend, our pastor, Wright, did a really good sermon. And he started off with the Old Testament verse that basically when Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac, and he was talking about it. And he said later on down the road, he said that the same slopes in which Isaac was to be sacrificed, which never happened, by the way, God stopped it. He said that was the same area and the same slopes in which Jesus was crucified. Now, what's interesting about that is you got to think through this for a second. When God told Isaac, or Abraham, to sacrifice Isaac, he stopped it in the middle. Now, God was omnipresent. He had no intentions of ever letting this go through. He was proving a point to Abraham on who you're supposed to serve. That's what it was all about, basically. God has never asked for human sacrifice, nor would he. But he was proving a point to Abraham that, you know, he needed to have loyalty from him. But he also proved another point, too. On those same slopes, thousands of years later, God allowed his own son, as a foreshadowing, to be crucified, and he didn't stop it. He allowed it to happen. Think through that for a second. That's how much he loves human beings. And we talk about this type of stuff in Angel Wars and why God did what he did and how he loves us so much he was willing to do that. So when you understand that, you start to realize that it's through Jesus all things are held together. So when we pray, if you take an antenna, let's say this is an FM antenna here, this is an FM antenna here, and you're broadcasting a beam straight out. If you take the antennas, you turn them like this, so the beam intersects, you create what's called the longitudinal wave. If you do that again with another set of antenna, you create a longitudinal wave plus another longitudinal wave. If you lay the longitudinal waves over with four separate transmitters, you create what's called a scalar energy field. And that scalar energy field uploads and upregulates energy from the field that we're in, the holographic energy field that we're in. And the thing that's interesting about that is when we pray, we create that same scalar energy field. Tremendous power in prayer. That's why it's so important. And I say this and I emphasize this. Do not pray imprecatory prayers. Now, some of you have been doing that. Don't do that. In other words, you tell somebody, you pray for God to kill somebody and you pray it in Jesus' name. That's basically witchcraft. You don't do that. You can pray that God exposes somebody and that his will be done in their life, but you can't be cursing people and using the name of Jesus. Don't do that. You have too much power. You can't be doing stuff like that. It's like, again, that's Satanism. That's witchcraft stuff. Don't be involved in anything like that. Now, you can pray they be exposed. Like I pray, Lord, that you'd expose Hillary Clinton for all of the horrible things she's done. I thank you, Father, for exposing so much what happened with Jeffrey Epstein and what he's done and all the rest of it. Now, a lot of people still believe that Jeffrey Epstein is still alive. In fact, Ghislaine Spiegel said that just a few weeks ago, you know, and so, you know, not Ghislaine Spiegel, go Ghislaine, Maxwell. Yeah, Maxwell. And so we have to realize that, you know, he probably is, you know, in a non-extradition country. He was Jewish. They probably took him back to Israel because he was Mossad. So we have to understand all of that stuff that's going on. But I want to read you a couple things here. Now, this is what science says, because they can't understand who Jesus is. They can't understand how the universe is held together. They can't understand any of this stuff, and they have to try to speculate. But this guy got it pretty close. His name is Hegeland. He goes, and what we have discovered at the core basis of the universe, the foundation of the universe, is a single unified field of intelligence. By the way, that would be God, Jesus. A field that unites gravity with electromagnetism, light with radioactivity, and with a nuclear force. So that all the forces of nature and all the so-called particles of nature, the quarks, the leptons, the protons, the neutrons, are now understood to be one. They are just different ripples on a single ocean of existence that is the unified field. And that field is a non-material field. It's ultimately a field of consciousness. That's God's consciousness, Jesus' consciousness, by the way. And everything in the universe is nothing but that. Planets, trees, people, animals. We are just all waves of vibration of this underlying unified superstring field. John Hegeland, particle physicist, which ties together exactly what it says in Corinthians, and it talks about exactly this: Christ the Creator, sustaining power. You know, the unity and purpose of the universe, that through him all things, I'm sorry, in Colossians, all things are held together through him. It's so important that we understand who God is and who Christ is and what he's done. Now, here's another interesting article.
Well, before you get into that, Ted, let me ask you a question. Does God hear the prayers of unbelievers?
If he wanted to, he could.
Well, yeah, obviously. But generally, in order to get that connection you're talking about, you need to be in Christ, right?
Here's what's interesting. I have a friend of mine who basically that I've known for years, and he decided he wanted to be gay. And, you know, he was raised in the church. He's the son of a friend. And I remember I called up a pastor friend of mine, and I said, will you please pray for, let's call him Joe. His name's not Joe, but let's call him Joe. Can you please pray for Joe, or can you cast the satanic demon out of him of this homosexuality? Could you get him to change? He goes, no, it won't work. And I'm like, okay, it won't work. And I said, it's prayer. And I said, it's a scalar field. He goes, won't work. He goes, when a person wants to have a demon and they're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, even if you cast it out and forced it out, it would just come right back. He said, you've got to pray first for the Holy Spirit to convict that individual, to allow that individual at that point to not want to have that demon in him anymore. Then you could cast it out and it could stay out and be gone. But until they're convicted by it. So what I do for my friend Joe, every Sunday I go to the altar at church. I get on my knees and I pray for the Holy Spirit to convict him. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Bob. I heard somebody say something. I don't know what you said.
No, I didn't say it. I think we just had a little glitch there, a little feedback.
Okay. And so what happens is, you know, you ask the question. Now, a lot of people believe that God hears all prayers. A lot of people believe that God doesn't hear prayers that are for people that aren't saved. But that's why I said, when you asked me that question, he can hear any prayer he wants to. He chooses to hear. The problem is that when your energy field is incompatible with God, it's kind of hard to get near him. And the scalar energy field of the uplink antenna is our DNA, which is a coiled helix. It really doesn't have the frequency that can transmit to God properly. Now, we can pray all we want, but if we're not praying through Christ, we're not getting to God. Now, we can pray to Jesus, but I don't know if we're going to get to God the Father if we're not saved, because it's kind of impossible to do that without Jesus. I remember years ago I did a show with a lady named Sarah, and she was saying, well, there's many ways to the Father, not just one. I said, oh, contraire. There's one. There's only one. There's only one uplink that it'll go through, and that's Jesus. So if I disagree with you, I said, great. Happy you disagree with me. You're wrong. I'm right. And then see, so she didn't understand, because she was talking about all these other religions. And I talk about this in Angel Wars. These other religions were put here after the Tower of Babel. Thousands of them. There's thousands of religions. Lucifer put them here on purpose. He did it. He did it to the human species to basically prevent us from talking to God directly. He didn't want that. He didn't want to talk to Jesus. He didn't want us to have the ability to do that. He wanted to basically put a barrier between us and have us pray to foreign gods. You know, a lot of different religions believe that, you know, that the Kabbalah is basically a religion that you talk to God. It's not. The Kabbalah, the god of the Kabbalah, is a snake called Ein Sof, and he wraps around the tree of the universe. He's an hermaphrodite. And the people who run the Kabbalah all over the world and who run the newspapers and the central banks and all this stuff, they're all part of that network. You see, they wear that red string around their wrist. And what they do basically is they worship this god of the snake. It's a snake god. And they believe that the closest expression you can have to that god is to be a hermaphrodite or a transgender. And they're the ones that are pushing the entire transgender field. So when these people are praying to God, they're not praying to our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. They're praying to another God, and our God doesn't hear those prayers. He doesn't hear him at all. In fact, with those people, they've got to go through like 14 different archangels in order to pray to their God. And because this is a sex death cult, they have to basically rock back and forth and simulate intercourse while they're praying in order to get their archangels to listen to talk to their God, Ein Sof. So when you pray to that kind of God, no, our God doesn't hear it at all, because we're not praying directly to him. But when you go through Christ, he hears your prayers. And you understand that, especially when you give your heart and your life to Jesus. When you do that, then you realize that you have a relationship with God. See, the thing that people don't do, and this is something that happens a lot, a person will have a really good relationship with God when they're younger. You know, they get saved in college. They get saved and they go to start going to church. They start taking their family to church, et cetera, et cetera. And then what happens is they become more and more and more successful. And they gradually drift away from having that relationship with God, because it's almost as if they don't need God anymore. You know, and they don't really go out and come out and say that, but they have been blessed so much in so many areas for what God's done to them, they kind of like gravitate away. Well, that's a problem, because God doesn't want you to have a religion, and he doesn't care about you having stuff. Everything here, including this box of purple things, it's just an energy field. It's a hologram. And to God, he owns it all anyhow. He doesn't want you to be held captive by the stuff that you own. He wants you to worship him and be part of him and have a relationship with him. So he doesn't want you to say, hey, I don't need you anymore, God. I can do it on my own now. He wants to have the relationship. It's like having a brat child. You take him through high school. You take him through college. You take him through law school. You take him through medical school. You spend all this money putting him in school. And then basically they start making really good money on their own, and they stop calling home. And every time you try to talk to them, they're busy. They're too busy. And pretty soon, you know, you pass away and you go to heaven with God, because we don't die anyhow. We just change energy fields. And also, we're not here anymore, but they never bothered to be part of our lives after they became successful. That's not what God wants. When you pick up the hotline, which is prayer, creates that scalar energy field that permeates time space instantaneously and goes to the ears of God through Christ. When you pick up that telephone and say, hey, God, I need some help, don't make it a 911 call. Don't do that. Don't say, I'm going to go to God and pray. Well, because you, that's not what he wants. You know, you right. go, oh, my gosh, the house is on fire. You know, 911. Well, no, maybe you should have had a sprinkler system installed. Maybe you should have a relationship going with God. And so what you don't want to do is, like, you know, a lot of times you get these crazy phone calls, these soliciting phone calls. And you go, I don't know these people. You pick it up and it's some insurance person. You go, oh, I'm done. And you basically block the leap so they don't ever call you again. You don't want God blocking and deleting you because he doesn't know who you are. You don't want that, okay? Yeah, you want to say, well, you call God, you know, because basically if you're not going through Christ, the phone rings, but he's not going to hear it. He's not going to listen to it. You got to go through Jesus first, and you have to have that relationship with God. And if you have that relationship with God, when you call up, oh, Rob's calling, Ted's calling, hey, you got to grab that. Hand me the phone. I got to answer this prayer. That's the relationship that you want. Because when you create an energy – no, it is. Because when you create a scalar energy field, it changes the fabric of time-space. Now, I'm going to explain what that means. because we're in time space in this dimension, there's certain laws of physics that apply. And one of those laws of physics is the hologram that we're in is subject to conscious change. In other words, when we pray certain things and say certain things, it creates a physical field around us that allows the angels to create what we speak because they're ministering spirits. And don't argue with me about that. Go look it up. You know, they basically listen to us and they do what we tell them to do. So if you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, comma, that's the way I want it to be. I'm always at the right place at the right time every single day, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. My footsteps are ordered by the Lord, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I always bring honor and glory to God, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. You always end any prayer that you pray with, that's the way I want it to be. Don't speak curses and disease and sicknesses. Don't say, Lord, don't keep me from getting cancer. What does that even mean if you're creating a physical reality? Why don't you say, Father, please thank you. I thank you so much that I'm always walking in divine health. I thank you all the time that I feel great every single day of my life. I thank you all the time that everything I touch is blessed. I thank you all. That's how you pray. Make it, comma, that's the way I want it to be. Because if you create a physical reality based upon the words that you speak, a lot of you are going to walk around in curses.
Yeah, well, I think it's very important that we pray in his will. You know,
well,
no,
you're right.
You know, thy will be done.
He's not a vending machine. We don't go to him like that. A lot of these faith, you know, name it, claim it, grab it people, they do all that. But, you know, when you're speaking health over yourself, that is God's will for you to have health. He says in Deuteronomy, don't eat pork. All right. But then he says, if you eat pork, you're going to have these horrible diseases come upon you and you're going to die. If you don't eat pork and you eat clean foods, you're going to be living longer and prosper. Okay. That's his will. And then he gives you the cliff notes. He goes, by the way, choose life, not death. But see, we don't do that. We want to eat what we want to eat, do what we want to do. And then we have these problems that happen to us. And then we want to claim, well, it's God's will. It's God's will that we are dying when we're 20 years old with heart disease. It's not God's will. That's providentialism. That's not what I believe. Providentialism believes that basically that everything that happens is God's will, and we have no input into it. Now, God knows it's going to happen because he's omnipresent. He knows it's going to happen, but he won't stop it because of freedom of will, but it's not his will for your life. So we can interface with God and say things that we need to say as far as what we want in our life, but he's not a vending machine. He's not that. But he's also not going to curse you. Jesus said, if you ask him for a piece of bread, he's going to give you a piece of bread. He's not going to give you a snake or a rock. He's going to bless you. But he expects you to also do what you're supposed to do and follow his word to the best of your ability and be very careful with the scalar energy fields that you create by the words that you speak. Really, really, really important. But remember, not everybody's going to own a Learjet or a jet or whatever. It doesn't work that way. But you can walk in God's will all the days of your life. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, Rob, or seen the children begging bread. We got to understand that. We don't have to walk in poverty. We don't have to. But I have a series. It's called Maximum Success. And it's the name of the series. It's how Maximum Success, How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. And it talks about the 37 principles of success, 37 principles of failure, and basically what the good parts are, what the bad parts are, and how you have to walk, basically in health all the days of your life, and how you have to walk in the will of God. Because you're right, Rob. Not everybody says we have to walk in God's will. We don't want to be trying to create things around us that's not in God's will for us. Because what happens is we have this. Right now in this studio, if you saw the camera, we turned it around. I've got a pool table over here. Okay, I've got a TV set over here. I've got a scope there for shooting up here. I've got a clock. I've got all kinds of stuff in here. I've got a desk. I can do anything I want. I can leave this camera right now. I can jump on the desk right here, and I can do a little dance for you. I can do that right now if I wanted to. Now, I'd probably look kind of silly, so I'm not going to do all that. Or I could move the lighting. There's 1,000 different things I could do right now. That's called a fractal timeline. Okay. Now, here's the problem. When we have a fractal timeline, God has a perfect plan A, B, C, D, or whatever for our life. Once we screw up patch plan A, we get plan B for our lives, which is God's next will. Then plan C. And with a fractal timeline, a lot of times you have what's called a crossroad decision. You'll come up to a place in the turn where you have to go right or left. You have to go that way, you got to go that way. You can't go straight anymore because the road changed. Now, you got to pick which one you want. That's one of those that would be kind of like a crossroad decision. You'd call that like, who are you going to marry? What are you going to major in college? Are you going to study? Are you going to study good in school? Are you going to do all the things you need to do right there? But let me give you an example. Here's a crossroad decision. Years ago, I wasn't walking with God. And I had a group of my friends wanted to go to a bar in Orlando. This is back when I was like, you know, 18 years old, when it was legal to drink when you're 18. I was in my second semester of college. And I remember I got on this guy's car. His name was Sammy. And Rocky was sitting beside him in the front seat. I knew Rocky too. They were all about 5-6 years older than me. And there was another kid beside me here in the back seat. And we were in a Ford Maverick. And we were going to go to this bar in Orlando, which I don't recommend. I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. Way, way, way back, B.C., before Christ with me. And I decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and sit in the back seat. And so I got in the back seat. And all of a sudden, Sammy lights up a joint of something and starts passing it around in the car. I'm at a crossroad. I can sit in the car with Sammy, or I can tell him to take me back to my car. I could do either or. I have to do, but I've got to make a decision right now. And so I looked at Sammy. I could see him in the mirror because I'm sitting right behind him in the seat right behind him. And I said, Sammy, take me back to my car. I said, I'm in college. I'm going to get a doctorate. I'm going to continue with my life. I'm in my second semester of school. You guys are not. You're doing drugs in the car. I don't want to be in the car. And he goes, well, you don't have to do the drugs. I said, no, it's a Ford Maverick. There's no window in the back. It's a little pop-out window. It's freezing cold outside. You guys won't roll the windows down. We're hotboxing. And so if you get in an accident or we get stopped, they blood test me, I'm going to have this crap in my lungs too. I don't want it in my lungs. Take me back to my car. And he started laughing. And he said, I'm not taking you back to your car. I said, yeah, you are. Now, let me explain something to you. That was a crossroad for me. I could do the drug. I didn't have to do the drug. I had to make a choice on what I wanted. How important was this? It was extremely important. So I said something to Sammy, and don't fuss at me about this. I was not saved at this point. I'd been a bouncer in a bar for a long time. I said to Sammy, I said, you're taking me back to the car, or I'm counting backwards from 10, and when I get to zero, I'm knocking you out. And I was sitting right behind him, and I wasn't joking. And he said to me, you wouldn't do that. I'm driving. I said, well, no, we'll go off the road. I said, I'm going to get out of the car. And he said, there's three against one here in the car. I said, no, you'll be unconscious. This guy in the back seat's already scared to death. He wants no part of this. And Rocky may or may not be okay. This actually happened, Rob.
Yeah.
And I started counting backwards. I pulled my fist back to hit Sammy. And I got down to five. And Sammy slams on the brakes. He says, you're really going to hit me. I said, no, I'm not going to hit you, Sammy. I'm knocking you out. I said, I'm not going to be in this car with drugs. I'm not doing this. This, in my mind, was a point where I was no go, point of no return. I was not going here with these guys. And he turned the car around, and he took me back to my car. Now, a few years later, Sammy was still selling drugs and being involved with drugs. He got involved with a drug deal that went bad out of Costa Rica, and they put a hit on him. They killed him. Don't make this stuff up. Not mentioning any last names here. And they told him, if you come down here and work this out with us, we'll take the hit off of you, and we'll let you go, but we have to work this out with us, get us paid. So they went down to Costa Rica. He went down there. And when he got to the hotel where they were meeting, they already had the plastic sheets on the floor. They dismembered him.
Wow.
True story. They dismembered him. And then they took his body parts. They took it out in the parking lot. And they poured kerosene on him. And they lit up his body, what was left of it. And they burned him in the parking lot. That was the end of Sammy. Now, maybe Sammy should have thought, Ted's in the back seat saying, I'm not going here. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be involved in this. That wasn't Sammy. Because Sammy died in his 30s. Think about that for a second. What happens when you get it? You go to, remember that song, Mama Told Me Not to Come? I've seen things and done things I should never have done. That's the problem that we have when we hit a crossroad decision. Who are you going to marry? Say to the woman, I love you. I'm infatuated by you. I want to be with you. And she goes, great. You don't bother to ask her, you want to do vaccines for the kids? If we have babies, you don't tell her that. You ignore it. You want to eat clean? You want to eat bad? You going to work out? You take care of yourself? You don't have those conversations because you're in love and you're infatuated. Suddenly you have a baby. You said, I've been listening to this Ted Dawson Brewer show. I've been listening to Kennedy from the HHS. You talk about these horrible side effects of vaccines. Let's not do that. Let's not give our kids you Tylenol if you're pregnant. Let's not eat glyphosate, which is Roundup. And all of a sudden the wife says, I don't care about all that. We're vaccinating the kid. You go,
yep, then you got a problem. And a bigger problem is young people when they used to get married, I don't know that they do get married so much anymore, but back when they did, they would never discuss Christianity or their faith.
That's right.
And then suddenly kids come along, or you have a Protestant marrying a Catholic, and now what are we going to do? How are we going to raise the kids? And they run into huge problems. But
those are all crossroad decisions. And what ends up happening is, let me give you another example. I'll tell you another story. Years ago, I had this kid. I'm going to change his name. I'll make this guy named Jack. The name wasn't Jack. And basically, Jack, I helped raise him. I mean, I took him on trips with us. I mean, we had a blast with Jack. Great guy. He gets married. He gets married to this girl who's super, super triple type A. Wants to run everything. Like, unbelievably mad, unbelievably negative all the time. And so we give him, she gets pregnant, and we give him like 50 articles to read on vaccines. And he basically reads them. And he says, well, I won't vaccinate my kid. This is awful. I said, okay. Well, about, 6 months later, the baby's been born. It's 2-3 months old. And, we're in the gym working out with Jack. And I said to Jack, I said, you're still not vaccinating, right? He goes, oh, no, we're going to vaccinate. We've been vaccinating. And I said, Jack, I ask you not to do this. I sent you all those articles to read. Well, come to find out, his wife wasn't in agreement with him. Her mother wasn't in agreement with him. And they decided that they were going to vaccinate regardless of what Jack said. And so I finally told Jack, I said, look, I said, why are you doing this? He goes, well, my mother-in-law wants to do it. My wife wants to do it. And quite frankly, the pediatrician that we use won't take our child. We'll have to go somewhere else and pay out of pocket if we don't vaccinate. I said, tell you what, use my doctor and I'll pay for your visits with your child. Please let me do that. Well, no, we're not going to do that because my mother-in-law, my wife, they all want to vaccinate. And I said, Dalton or Jack, I said, you're going to have a real problem here. If this kid comes down with autism, because 1 in 12.5 boys come down with autism now. It's that bad. And he goes, well, here's what I believe. I believe if my son comes down with autism, it's God's will. That's what we talked about a minute ago, Rob. Yeah. It's not God's will. Okay. It's because you're stupid. Okay. God doesn't want that. Choose life, not death. And I said to him, I looked at him, I said, that's providentialism. I said, that's nonsense. I said, that's like saying if I step in front of a semi truck, giving him 5 feet to stop and he's running 70 miles an hour, it's God's will, he runs over me. It's not God's will. You're stupid. That's your freedom of will. You're committing suicide. And God lets you do what you want to do because of freedom of will, but it's not God's will. Now, he knew from the day that you were born that you were going to do that because he's omnipresent. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end at the same time. He knows what your time is. He knows when you're going to die. He knows all of that in advance, but it's not his will for you to do stupid stuff. And that's the problem we talk about all the time with marriage. People say, well, I want to do this, or I want to do that, or I want to do this. You don't get it. You don't do it inside God's will. You do what Sammy did. You basically do whatever you want to do. And all of a sudden you look back at your life and you got all this mess going on and you weigh your life and it's a giant failure. Failure is never final, but failure's pretty bad for some people. If you make the same mistake over and over and over and over and over again, and it costs your health, what ends up happening is you lose your health. And when you lose your health, what will you give to get it back? Well, people will give everything to get their health back because they want to have health. I knew this billionaire over in Cat. I didn't know him. He was from a friend of mine. And he basically was in Africa and he had cancer. And he wanted an alternative cancer protocol. So I had this naturopathic physician who was willing to help him. And it was going to cost like $8,000 to ship this stuff. And half the cost was shipping to Africa. The guy's a billionaire, Rob. He's worth billions. He goes, I don't want to spend $8,000. Well, he died. He's dead. He said, well, who got his billions next? And I see that kind of stuff all the time. Had a TV evangelist that I know. And he called me up one day and he goes, my son was vaccine free, and he went off to Bible college in Tulsa. And he decided to get all the vaccines. He's an idiot. I said, well, you're right. He is an idiot. And he goes, well, we've got a baby now, and he wants to inject the baby. I need you to help him. I said, help him? I said, you haven't been able to help him. He's an idiot. And he goes, well, I believe it. You can help him. So I sent the kid 300 clinical references and studies about vaccinations causing autism, learning disabilities, all these different things. From mercury toxicity to glyphosate toxicity to aluminum toxicity, all of it. Say, these are the things you need to do to reduce the risk of vaccine injury. Kid week later calls me back, says, okay, great, I need more articles. Hadn't read the first one yet because he was arguing with his wife who wanted the vaccines. And I said to him, I said, what's wrong with you? I'm not sending you any more articles. I've sent you 300 clinical references about the dangers of vaccines. Well, I need more. I said, no, you don't. You don't. Your dad already told me you're an idiot. You don't listen. You do whatever you want to do. You're letting your wife and your in-laws determine the course of events as far as whether you're going to vaccinate your child. And let me tell you something too about Jack. Remember Jack was sitting in that, he was out there with my gym with me talking to me. He said, if it's God's will, my son will have autism. About 6 years later, I'm you know, at the party at Austin's house. This is a friend of Austin's, my friend. And Jack shows up with his son that he had, that he was vaccinating, and his son had autism. Now, that's not a funny story. It's an awful story. And now he's dealing with that the rest of his life. And all the rest of his family, when they saw that, guess what? Nobody else vaccinates. You think, well, aren't these vaccines important? Read two books. Confessions of a Medical Heretic by Robert Mendelsohn. Not my material, because I wrote a book on it too. I'm not even promoting my material here. Read Robert Mendelsohn, Confessions of a Medical Heretic. And the other one he wrote is How to Have a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. Read those two books. You tell me which vaccines you want to give your kid. Do what you want to do. Figure it out. Whatever you want to do. But the reality is that I know that vaccines are loaded with aluminum. They're loaded with all kinds of horrible things like, you know, like dead feces, not feces, dead fetal cells and everything else. This unbelievably toxic stuff that are injected into these kids. And so why do you want to put that into your body? There's 72 of them now. One in 12.5 little boys have autism. It's like having a switch on the wall. You have 12 switches over. You go flip one. Your kid got autism. Hit the wrong switch. Not even to mention that almost all the children have learning disabilities now because of all the stuff they're putting into these kids. It's unreal. You know, YouTube, I just have all these, I mean, I have millions of views on YouTube. And we start talking about the COVID shot. Rob remembers this. It was, don't do the COVID shot. Stay away from it. It's a bioweapon. All of a sudden, YouTube goes, you're putting out disinformation. Racks down. Like almost every single YouTube video we have came down. Then we got blackballed by YouTube. And then, then it was one of those things. They'll still censor me if we mention vaccines. Though Kennedy's talking about it from HHS. If I say it, they still censor me. See, it's disinformation. Now, Kennedy's getting lit up now, too, by the doggone medical doctors that are saying the same thing to him. So if we have the ability to pray and change physical reality and change the holographic energy field that we're in through consciousness and through prayer and through the power of Jesus, to whom all things are held together, then why don't we pray on an ongoing basis? Let me read you this article. I was going to read this a minute ago, and this is interesting. When we look at the weird, wacky world of quantum mechanics, it can be hard to make sense of some of the things that they've been observing. We choose to examine a phenomenon which is impossible, absolutely impossible to explain in any classical way, and which has in it the heart of quantum mechanics. In reality, it contains the only mystery, Richard Feynman, a Nobel Prize laureate of the 20th century, said. One thing is certain, consciousness or factors associated with consciousness, this is Jesus' consciousness, observation, measurement, thinking, intention, have a direct correlation with what we perceive to be our physical material world. A fundamental conclusion of the new physics also acknowledges that the observer of the incident creates the own physical reality. We saw that with the Slidens experiments. As observers, we are personally involved in the creation of our own reality. Physicists are being forced to admit that the universe is a mental construct. Just let you know what the science is saying, because through him, all things are held together. The stream of knowledge is heading towards a non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to look more like a great thought than like a great machine, because that's why I started off with this in the very beginning. Christ is the creator, his sustaining power, unity and purpose. Through him, all things are held together. He is before all things. It indicates Christ, preeminence and existence prior to all creation. In him, all things are held together. Consciousness, through him, this suggests that Christ is the sustaining force of the universe, maintaining order and coherence. And so what they're saying here is this order and coherence of this consciousness of Jesus holding it all together is what creates the entire fabric of the universe through thought. And through consciousness, we're basically a holographic energy field. And we can change that by the words that we speak. Years ago, Rob, I was asked to speak at a local Bible college. That's a university. And they said that one of the professors says, can you come in and talk to us, my children, my kids one time? I said, sure. So I had a group of kids in the classroom. And I said, what would you guys like to talk about? And they started talking about reality and they wanted to be successful. And I said, okay, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about how you can change the fabric of reality by the prayers that you pray and by the words that you speak. And they said, wow, you teach us that? I said, yeah, I teach you that. I show you how to do it. I show you that Jesus, through him, all things are held together. And that when you speak certain things, you create certain realities. If you speak death and destruction, this is why I'm, like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to say it again. This is why I'm so adamant about imprecatory prayers, not using that. You don't do that. You've got too much power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And it's the power to change the fabric of reality. It's amazing what we can do as Christians. People don't understand it. It's the same power that pulled Jesus from the tomb. It's the same power that holds all things together. I mean, it's unreal what we can do through Christ. And when we understand that, then we realize that we don't need to be cursing our fellow creation. And we can pray they get exposed if they need to get exposed, but we don't want to need to curse anybody.
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on to talk about prayer today is because prayer is actually in the news. And I know you're well aware of it too. But after the transgender shooting in Minneapolis, horrible. And we've gotten all the leftists are coming out of the woodwork, and in particular, Jen Psaki saying enough with the prayers and the thoughts and prayers. They don't do anything. We need, and she's pushing for gun control and things like that.
They don't do anything.
Yeah, that's basically what she's saying.
Yeah.
So
here's the problem we have with
Christians. I just find it strange that so many people look at prayer, so many Christians even look at prayer as a last and almost hopeless last resort.
No.
When they're in trouble or dealing with any kind of disaster, they say things like, well, all we can do now is pray. Why isn't the prayer the first thing they do?
Well, no, it's not a prayer's not a 911 call.
Yeah, exactly.
Prayer is a relationship that you build with God, the creator of the universe, through Jesus. That's what prayer is. It's having a relationship with the entity that created you and having that go directly to the Father. That's what prayer is. It's saying to God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. I am always at the right place at the right time, every time. I'm always walking in the perfect will of God every single day of my life. And you pray the things that are not as if they were, and you pray for God's will to be done in your life with all of these things. That's what you pray. And then what happens is it changes the fabric of the reality around you. If you're negative, okay, never in the history of the world that I know anything that someone's erected a statue to a critic. I don't see that ever. You know, they always are erecting statues to people that are visionaries and they want to create things and do things and be better and help the world. People that are negative are just, they kind of brighten up a room by leaving it. It's awful.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're horrible. You're like, what's, you know, first of all, when they're Christians and are negative, my response is always this: what's wrong with you? The God of the universe created you. Jesus created you. I said, he can do anything you ask him to do. You know, you've got a bad situation with your finances. You've got a bad situation with your health that you caused. You want to know why a lot of people aren't blessed? Look at their beacon score. Find out what their beacon score is. Find out how many people they haven't paid their money back to, they borrowed. Find out, I talk about all this in Maximum Success, and you realize very quickly that success leaves clues. And if you don't do the things that you need to do to become successful, what ends up happening is poverty just awaits you. You just start breaking down and falling apart and all the rest of it. That's what people don't get. When you serve the Most High God, and he allows you to come forward with him and to do the things that you know that you need to do, it changes everything. He'll put you at the right place at the right time for that raise. He'll get you a great deal on an automobile and put you with the right people that could give you a car deal that you won't lose a bunch of money on. He'll do everything he possibly can to make sure you're protected. But you've got to be willing to take that stand, don't you? If you get that crossroad decision,
absolutely.
You got to do what I did with Sammy. You got to say, no, get me out of this car. I won't take the drugs. I won't do the alcohol. I will not do it. You know, my wife passed away a few years ago, and it's amazing to me. You go out with a girl or a woman, and the first thing you want to do is order wine. And I'm always, my response is always this: I don't drink alcohol, nor will I buy alcohol. Well, you can't tell me I can't drink. I said, I'm not telling you you can't drink. It'll be the last time I see you, but you can drink, but I'm not paying the bill. You get your own bill. You buy your own wine or your own alcohol. I'm not telling you what to do. You're 21 years old. But I'm not paying for it because I know that alcohol is an elevator that only goes down. It increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. I mean, I'll be 70 years old in a few months. I mean, I feel great. Especially, Rob got me to take a purple stick 30 minutes ago, an hour ago. I'm really good right now. But the point is, when we understand what happens in our bodies and what this stuff does to you, it's a point. Alcohol is a neurotoxin. Oh, I got to have some water. Now, here's the other thing alcohol does. Alcohol stops the production of an enzyme called lipase from the liver because the liver's got to detoxify the alcohol. And when that liver stops producing lipase, you can't burn body fat. You start storing body fat. It takes 3 to 4 days after one drink to get the lipase levels restored. And in addition to that, you can't release glucagon, which burns the body fat. So you start storing fat. So you start drinking, a couple glasses of wine a week. It takes 4 days to get it done. Your lipase levels never go back to normal. You drink a glass of wine on Monday, you drink a glass of wine on Thursday, you never get your lipase back. So now your liver's not doing what it's supposed to do. Now you start gaining body fat. Well, every month you gain a pound. It's no big deal. First couple of years, not a big deal. Gain 24 pounds. How about after 10 years when you gain 120 pounds? I see it over and over and over and over again. Well, then, now you've got elevated insulin and you've got elevated sugar in your body. And so now you got to go take some other drug that they inject into you, a diabetic drug, to lose weight. You start losing weight. And as soon as you get off that drug, you basically go back to the same eating pattern. And you gain all the weight back. And you get with the Ozempic face, and your face all hollowed out, and you look horrible. I see it all. I had a lady that I knew, met her about a year ago. Don't associate with her anymore. Never dated her. And she ended up having to lose, she had to lose 120 pounds, and she did it through gastric sleeve. She basically did it because she had half or three quarters of her stomach cut out. And all she had was health problems after health problems after health problems after health problems. And I got her on the supplements, and she started getting a lot better. The problem was, why couldn't she have just stayed clean with her diet to start with and not gained all the weight? And don't try to, don't lose 100 pounds. Lose 5. You say, well, I need to lose some weight. Lose 5. I'm going to lose 5 pounds this month. Okay, there you go. In a year, I'm going to lose 60 pounds. Okay, that's good. Year and a half, I'll be back down to my ideal weight. Don't say, I'm setting my goal up. I'm dropping 100 pounds. Don't do that. It's too much mental stuff to do that with. Say, I'm going to lose 5. 5's easy. The next 5 will be easy. Make it simple for yourself.
As long as we're on that topic, tell us about your chiropractor friend.
Oh, yeah, God. He was 500-600 pounds. It was crazy. And and he ended up losing his joints. He couldn't work anymore. He had to retire in his 40s. And he was one of the smartest men I've ever met. Brilliant man. Spoke German, spoke English, but he couldn't control himself. He was sitting there taking 20,000 calories a day. He ate two huge peaches for lunch every day with like a gallon of soda and bragged about it. He'd go to a buffet and sit there for 4 hours. And he was a great guy. He was a good friend, but he would not be disciplined in his diet. And he was one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And he's a great chiropractor.
Being a chiropractor, you would think he would know better.
Well, but again, just because you have the knowledge doesn't mean you can apply it. It's the discipline that's associated with it. Discipline with knowledge gives you the success that you need. If you apply it without application, it doesn't work. Right. But I haven't seen him. Gosh, he retired in his 40s. I haven't seen the guy in 20 years. I don't know if he's alive or not. I hope he is. He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. But the sad part about it is how many people are like that? They're going to do what they want to do. Same thing with diet sodas. Diet sodas increase the risk of brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, and they make you gain body fat. Because the same thing, 10% of the molecular structure of aspartame is methanol or paint thinner. It's an alcohol, and the body's got to detoxify it. And so when it detoxifies the alcohol, what does it do? It stops producing lipase. It's the exact same thing again. I don't know why I'm gaining all this weight. I've been drinking diet sodas. It's the same exact pattern. You see it over and over and over again. I've seen it so much, and you try to tell people, don't drink diet sodas. They'll cause brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. They can make you go blind. And you go, but if they're going to listen or they're not going to listen. And see, that's the problem, isn't it, Rob? You can set before them life and death. You can say, choose life, choose death. Please choose life. It's better for you. But they're going to have to make their own choices. Do you really want to take a chance of having a child come down with some type of learning disability that now you've got to deal with that child the rest of their life because some pediatrician wants to get their $50,000 or $100,000 or up to $500,000 year bonus every year into their clinic if they have 80% or 90% of the children vaccinated? That's why so many of the doctors, the pediatricians, won't take your child into their clinic if you refuse vaccines because they don't get their bonuses from Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Right.
Yeah, Kennedy exposed those. We exposed it all 10 years ago. And see, this is the problem that you have with these medical doctors. They know that when they give these kids these vaccines, that 1 in 12 of these boys, their lights go out, and they're autistic now. They know that. They say, well, it's part of the herd immunity. We've got to do it. That's complete crap. When I was a kid, I had measles. I have lifetime immunity measles. When I was a kid, I had chickenpox. I have lifetime immunity chickenpox. The whole school used to be let out. Well, yeah, the whole school did used to get out, let out. Everybody get measles, everybody get chicken pox. Every year we have something like that happen, and everybody go home. And a couple weeks later, a couple days later, everybody come back again, and everybody had lifetime immunity. So why would you not want to do it?
Same with me. Before we run out of time, because we're down to about 5 minutes here, anybody in the audience have any questions or comments? Raise your hand. Now is your chance. Otherwise, we're going to let Ted keep going. Okay, no questions or no comments?
I do. Yeah, one thing, you know, imprecatory prayers, I have prayed them, but I do it against like child traffickers and stuff, you know. So I do believe in doing those occasionally, And I know, you know, it's everybody has their own opinion, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. For those who love it will eat its fruit, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of truth to what you say, you know. And I was going to, I do got some of your products. That natnokinase, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but do you know which one I'm saying?
It's part of the spike protein survival program. Yep.
Yep, it's
that's for people taking the COVID shot. Right?
Yep.
But I've got. Thank you for your support, and I want you to know that I respect everything you say. I just don't do imprecatory prayers. I'm not going to curse somebody in the name of Jesus. I'm not doing it. And you know, and so you know, now I'll pray against them as far as that they get exposed. I will do that, especially like you said, child traffickers.
I'm not going to
come in and say, Lord, please kill them in Jesus' name. That's not that. I don't do that. That's when I say imprecatory prayers, I mean that. I'm not trying to speak death on these people, but I will speak exposure to them. I will pray that they get exposed. I will do that. But yep. but to me, that's not an imprecatory prayer because yep. you're not invoking a curse on somebody in Jesus' name.
I have said to break their arms so the children would get away.
So what was your, you mentioned nanokinase. What are you using that for, Betty?
Well, we have that as part of our spike protein survival kit. You know, when people get the spike proteins or the COVID shots, they have a tendency to get blood clots. And so you want to make sure you get enough stuff into your body to stop to fight the spike proteins. I know a lot of the listeners tonight are listening tonight. They've probably taken the COVID shot. And so, and if they've lived past it so far, 3 or 4 years, they probably aren't going to continue to live.
But that
COVID shot's a bad product. And that's why Kennedy's trying to pull it off the market completely. So, you know, it just is what it is. But here's the thing. When you have a vaccine that's basically, you know, part of Operation Warp Speed, which has never been tested in clinical human studies to any type of degree of efficacy, you know, why in the world do you want them to inject it in you if the label on that product is blank and they won't even tell you what's in it? If they want to put something in their bodies and they won't tell you what's in it, they put it in their own bodies. I'm not putting it in my body. And that was, I remember years ago, I remember Sharon and I, you know, when Biden got into office, he was talking about using the National Guard up there in Delaware to go door to door, and he did it, but it wasn't being forced. It was basically that they would send nurses and doctors door to door. And I told Sharon, I said, if he does that here and they start doing forced vaccines, I said, this is my line in the sand. I said, if they're not sending me to meet Jesus, I'll go on my own accord. They can shoot me if they want, but I'm not going to take that shot. And so I told Sharon, I said, now you want me to lay down cover fire for you in the event they come here to do this? We got to talk about this. She goes, no, you just get me an AR-15. I'm going out with you. We're both going to heaven together. And that's what she told me. I had an incredible wife. I mean, we were married for 38 years, best woman ever. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is, where's the resolve that we have nowadays? Where's the resolve of the men? You know, half the guys that I know that are under the age of 30 are effeminate. I went to a birthday party a few weeks ago and a few months ago, and I was with a friend, and the guys were running around with princess bracelets. You know, they were wanting to be princesses. And I shook really? one of them wanted to shake my hand. He started squealing like a little pig because I hurt his hand when I shook it. I thought, where am I? What is this? And they were all Christians. That's not what God called us to be. You know, we have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind through Jesus. We don't have to act like women and little wimps. And that's the biggest problem we got, Rob. You know, we have allowed the men to become effeminate in the United States, and the women don't know what to do because feminism has destroyed them. The effeminate nature of these men has destroyed them, and the whole population is no longer raising little Christians anymore. In the aggregate, we still are doing it in a rare case, but a lot of times families aren't, like you said, a Catholic marries a Christian. You're a Protestant, or somebody marries a Muslim, and all of a sudden the whole thing breaks apart from a family unit, and we no longer raise little Americans that are trained in the way they should go by the Most High God, through the Word of God, and through Jesus. It's a mess. But they've done that to us on purpose, but we could do a whole show on that. But that's from the Frankfurt School back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Cultural Marxism.
It's a sad situation. The even regular churchgoers don't have any clue really what it means to be a Christ follower.
No,
you
most
know,
both
people tell me they're a Christian, and I have to say, you know, what does that mean to you? Because today it doesn't mean what it did when I was a kid.
No,
anymore.
But I want to thank everybody listening though for supporting Health Masters, watching the Ted and Austin Brower show. Now I give you a little bit of advice here for that. If you like what I said tonight, you're gonna love the Ted and Austin Brower show. If you don't like what I said tonight, you probably don't need to watch the show, because that's the kind of stuff we talk about all the time.
Well, I would encourage you folks to watch the show or listen to the show. You have a choice. You can watch or listen. I typically listen because a lot of times I do it while I'm driving. So, like I said, it's the most entertaining and informative show. And a lot of the articles that I write that go out on multiple platforms, a lot of my ideas I get from Ted and Austin. So,
well, thank you, Rob.
People ask me, where do you come up with this stuff? Well, Ted and Austin were talking about it, and I looked into it, and yeah, there's a lot here. So teamhealthmasters.com is the website. You can get all the products, all the information, articles, resources. Check out those purple sticks. Ted, thanks for being here. We are out of time.
Rob, my pleasure. Anytime. I loved it. Thank you for getting me all stoked up again on some green tea extract with my purple sticks.
Okay. So Dr. Mike is going to be with you next week. I will be back in this seat the rest of September, and we have some great guests lined up for you and some great discussions. Please share this program, and I will see you in 2 weeks. God bless.